McMurrick in the dummy half as they go to the left through Fairley. A lovely offload. They've found some space out here through Lindsay. Lindsay pins the ears back. The cover defence comes across. He beats one, beats two. Lindsay steps inside. And Lindsay will take it around underneath the post. Hong Kong draw first blood here.
Hello and welcome to the Post Pen Myth Hong Kong Rugby League podcast. Jonesy, how did you escape Penrith?
Oh, mate, that's where I'm from. So, for one, I've got plenty of connections there, mate. I got out alive. I was just worried about you fellas.
I crawl out the trenches out the back way. Yeah, I think I managed to sneak past them in the darkness.
Probably too small, no one saw you. Exactly. Well, we're back. We have a new guest today. We've got Matt Jones, a coach of the Hong Kong national team, and Ringo Leung, captain. Gents, how are you feeling after the tour?
Body's a bit sore. Picked up some odd injuries in some odd places. But other than that, I mean, yeah, what a tour. It was a tough comp on the field, but it was definitely a great experience off it. Unfortunately, results didn't go our way. But yeah, I think overall it was a bloody awesome tour and I hope all the boys enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was good. I don't have any physical injuries, but very emotional. It's actually quite difficult coaching. I think it's probably a lot easier just going out there and playing and knowing what you need to do. But we got a few curveballs thrown at us during the tournament with injuries and just the
visas
and just the attrition rate of players on field and sometimes off field. But it was all in all, it's been an awesome experience.
Now, the Emerging Nations World Championships has been intermittent at best. The last one was only the third one they've ever done. Yeah. The one preceding that, I think, was 18 years ago. How often do you think Rugby League should be getting the Emerging Nations together?
Oh, I think every 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing I personally, there's quite a few people that said this, but you know, it'd be good to see some more authentic teams there, you know, similar to Hong Kong, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Japan, that went down heavily in numbers with you know, a team picked from their domestic competitions. You know, I'd like to see up to 50% at least of guys travelling over. In saying that, that's not cheap. You know, when you're self-funded tours like ours, it's going to be a push to probably see it every year. So I think every 4 years is probably good, but it'd be something to see in the next tournament. That'd be really good to see, I think.
Yeah, I think for the development of the game, it needs to be at a set cycle. It needs to be regular. Of course, one of the problems you've got with hosting these types of tournaments is it's revenue negative for the organisers. So New South Wales Rugby League did a fantastic job for us, for the Emerging Nations, put a lot of effort into it. The NRL put a lot of effort into it, and RLIF to some extent as well. So
I reckon as well, we learned so much about how to go to one of these tournaments. Like, you know, obviously before we played against Japan, it was just one weekend with 17 boys and you're there for one thing and one thing only. And we've learned so much what we need to do to make a tournament like this successful over the course of 2 weeks, managing the boys, the squad, the trainings, all that sort of stuff. We need to use that knowledge again to build on it as well for us to improve.
Well, I think that's a good point. I want to thank Matt Jones for organising the accommodation, and it felt like a proper camp.
It was awesome.
Great facilities, good rooms, good banter, and I didn't have to share with anyone.
Oh, it was good. A couple of boys need to learn how to cook. Aside from that, we had a fire alarm incident down there.
Which cost $10,000.
Yeah. It was 10,000 neat almost, Hong Kong. But no, you're right. It wasn't. I mean, the intention was initially just to keep costs down. Obviously, you know, we're staying out at Penrith as well, and that's where the games were. But you know, it became evident quite quickly that, you know, it was just good to have everyone there. We were doing, you know, we had Jack Nielsen. He was fantastic with, you know, the things he had planned for the boys, you know, the mobility sessions, the pool sessions, you know, training. And, you know, logistically, that would have been impossible if we're scattered all over the place. For us just to get together and walk down to the fields or walk to the gym or jump in the cars and go to the pool, you know, it was just great. It had that real camp feeling, which was good. And in some cases, good to build morale after some of the almost crushing defeats. You know.
Well, let's talk about that, shall we? I mean, Poland, obviously, we probably shouldn't have been playing them. I don't think any of their team that we played against playing their domestic league. They were obviously all A graders from Sydney Comp. I think some were from other places.
Yeah, there are a couple of NRL boys in there, Super League, and I think the rest of them are picked from Ron Massey Cup and high level sort of. They were seasoned, you know, Australian players just coming off the back of their competition, right? So that was tough. I think they had the pools, pool A, pool B, and pool C. Pretty well done. You know, if we end up running up against Niue or something like that, you know.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it would have been great. But, you know, it just, I think in Poland's case, they got it wrong.
Well, it's simple because it was based upon your international ranking.
Yeah.
And up until then, Poland hadn't officially played a game.
Yeah.
So the organisers were in a catch-22 situation. They probably knew that it was going to be stacked with Polish heritage players. But, you know, hopefully the organisers can learn from that. We can think about it. Maybe this quota system, Jonesy, that you're quite keen on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, this Polish team, they smashed our comp and then they went through and won the comp above them, I think.
They beat Philippines in the final, who are in Group A, so the top tier.
Philippines were tipped to win it there at one stage, I think, from Pool A. Are definitely top contenders. And then, you know, Poland have come up from our competition to knock them off on top in the grand final. So, you know, It is difficult. You don't know what the turnout's going to be with these teams, but, you know, having Harry Sedgka and those sort of guys steering around the park,
who play for Penrith and Bradford Bulls.
Cut above.
From a playing perspective, though, even though it was a tough game, it was awesome to play against these guys because that's the level you need to get to. You know, that's all of a sudden we're like, wow, if we want to actually progress and move forward, this is what we need to do. This is the level we need to be at. So it's a great experience for the boys. For myself personally, coming up against Harry Sedgka, it was just, I mean, that's not an experience that you will get every day. And only tournaments like this, I think, will give you that sort of experience, which is
great to have that inspiration. Yeah. It's something for future players to look at and think, you know, I want to work my game, I want to play against the best, and we certainly did against Poland. Now, we played against Japan.
Yeah.
We had a 22-point lead. We were looking pretty awesome.
It's crushing.
Then what happened?
Well, the first half, I think we, especially I think after the first 10 minutes, when we settled down, we implemented that game plan, which was to use our big boys, complete our sets. We didn't try to do anything too fancy. We just got into the right positions in the park, and then we managed to get, you know, a bunch of tries. But I think in the second half, ultimately, we just ran out of numbers. I mean, Jonesy was looking over the bench after 60 minutes and we had no more subs left, and that takes its toll.
Yeah, I mean, from a coaching perspective, we did what we trained to do, which was just awesome, you know. We took a lot away from the Poland game. You know, rather than overcomplicating things and having, you know, structured moves and plays, you know, that sort of, you know, weren't really going our way, especially because you're trying to get, you know, a new team to gel every game, which is, you know, incredibly difficult. So we just simplified it, went out there, you know, a couple of big boys to the middle, and then having sort of the bigger forwards or centres running in the off the fringes off our 5-8, you know, our halves, Ringo and who was halves and that?
Gus,
yeah. And it was just working, you know, and, you know, all of a sudden we're blowing Japan off the park, and then the attrition kicked in and we started losing players and concussions and failing concussion tests. And at one stage, I looked over the sideline, a bloke with his knee elevated, another one in a sling, Gareth walking around, didn't know where he was after failing the concussion test. And, yeah, and all credit to Japan, they just kept coming.
Yeah, their hooker was fantastic.
Their hooker and lock, just that last 20 minutes, just... yeah, blew us away. We ran out of bodies and they really sort of took the game on, and they were the difference in the end, the hooker and the lock.
Definitely, yeah.
And it had to be, you know, not that I'm neutral, but if I was, that was probably one of the best games of the tournament.
Yeah. Last minute penalty
last
to
minute
win
penalty,
it.
You coming back from 22 points adrift.
Yeah, it's an ongoing rivalry. I think Hong Kong and Japan are going to build up over the years to come. I mean, it's just that grudge match, isn't it? So
2-1 for Japan at the moment.
And mate, they've only been 2 points in every game, really, hasn't there?
Every single
game we've played, there's only been a couple of points in it. So,
well, there's definitely been a second half comeback in all our games, in all three of them.
So I mean, so far three awesome games. Like you said, Nev 2-1 to Japan. So we're looking to even that up.
A big shout out to Toby in that game as well, because what I guess most people didn't see was that after 10 minutes, he'd completely torn his pec. So he played the rest of the game with a torn pec. Fair play to the man. And he backed himself up against Solomon Islands as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of lads came out of the competition with a lot of credit. I think bravery is something which people often take for granted in rugby league, but it's easy to see that when you're on the NRL, you're watching NRL or Super League. But, you know, even at our level, you had people standing up like Toby, who's, you know, heck had come off, and you had Matt Law with a broken hand who still wanted to play the next game,
yeah,
and did, right? I mean, yeah. And you know, full respect to a lot of these boys who put their hand up and continue playing because they want to put on that jersey.
Yeah, mate, you know, the Japan game was tough. I mean, I was running water and I've come out and blokes are looking at me for a spell. They're injured, their arms are hanging out of their socket. I said, no more bench, boys, no more bench. You got 15 minutes to go, and I suck it up, and away they went, you know. Okay, no worries. Straight back into it. So, you know, it's just tough, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah, it bodes well for the future. Although, you know, the future is something, you know, we should discuss now. Obviously, we did play the Solomon Islands as well. I think the less said about those two games, the better. I mean, the second game was just, I mean, a completely new team. But talking about looking ahead, what would you like to see Hong Kong Rugby League do next, Jonesy?
Next, look, I think it's got to make sure we're always going forward. We've had a couple of huge years with Hong Kong Rugby League. We, you know, we've accomplished so much. My suggestion next year is probably maybe just to aim 2 years ahead, maybe, and just continue to grow in sort of a, maybe, I don't know, whether just a slower and more productive effort, maybe bring back a residence tour. I mean, you know, the Emerging Nations is a big one for all of us. So, I don't know, it's too hard to say. We're only a week back from Oz as well. So
I think the residence tour is something which a few people have been asking for. We didn't do it this year for obvious reasons. We went to Japan, it cost money. We've gone to the Emerging Nations, it's cost everyone money. We just couldn't fit in a residence game, but... Yeah. Ringo, thoughts on residence? You played in one of the residences.
Yeah, that's how I got involved in the first place. So I went to Thailand, got to meet a few of the boys. That was really good. And yeah, my involvement started then. So residence tour is a great way of getting people involved, getting people on board and bringing new people in as well.
Which is needed because realistically, Ringo, we were talking about this earlier, you know, Jason Fairley, Jack Nielsen, G-Man, The Axe, they've all got John Howarth, they've all probably pretty close to retiring, and you know, we are going to need some new blood.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll be allowed to play if it's a residence tour as well. so I'm pushing it. But no, you're right, it obviously broadens the criteria, and it brings blokes out of the woodwork. Yeah. You know, got to... You know, you really want these sort of high performance rugby players to come over and start having a run with us as well, you know. And I think the residence tour, that's where we picked up Griff and those guys. So, you know, I think we should be having one. It's probably easy to organise too, you know. It's not internationally sanctioned.
Yeah, anyone
can
play. Where would you like to go?
I've thrown Greece out there. I don't know.
Bingo. So,
the problem with the residence tour in Asia is that there are only limited places that we can go to that play rugby league.
Yeah. Have you been to them?
We've been to them. So as much as we like going there and as easy, I mean, logistically easier, as easy it is to organise to go to Manila or to Bangkok, if we want to have kind of somewhere new to go, we really do have to look a bit further afield to Europe.
Japan again,
to the islands maybe, I don't know, maybe to Vanuatu or Solomon Islands. Argentina would be a bad one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if Thailand sorted what's going on down there and got their comp back together or whatever, Thailand's a spot, isn't it? It's cheap, it's easy to get to, you know, and it's
no visa issues.
Yeah, and they'd be able to get a competitive enough game against us, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, see what happens.
Yeah, well, I think there we go, Hong Kong residents. And we are going to go to PNG. I just don't know when.
PNG.
Right. Obviously, we mentioned that there was, you know, there's some guys playing with injuries and, you know, putting on that jersey meant something to them. But we also had quality in the team, not just bravery. And Craig McMurrick made the world team. What do we think about that?
Deserved.
Yeah. I've never seen a motor on someone like him, you know. Out of all the tackles in a game, he'd be at 90% of them. You know, even if he's just getting involved and pulling someone's hair in the tackle and stirring them up, you know, he's involved in everything. And just a great player, really good player. And you know, the morale boost that he can give to a team as well, you know. We saw it in Japan where he come off the bench, you know, just picked everyone up another notch. You know, the way he talks, the way he just gets in blokes' faces. Yeah.
Very literate when, you know, he comes on and even half-time talks as well.
Yeah,
he's a competitor. I mean, he's just like ultimate competitor, isn't he? I mean, speaking before about guys like Harry Sejchuk for Poland, but yeah, you're right, looking within our own team, guys like Craig, brings everyone around him up to another level. And yeah, I mean, he goes quite far sometimes, but bloody hell, we need it, especially at this stage.
Yeah, quite far. I'd say being twice and sent off in four games is... he's got, you know, he's taking it quite far.
Yeah, got into a world team though, so he's doing something right.
On the wing.
On the wing, yeah.
He must have got confused. They saw him over on the sideline so much they thought he was running down the wing.
yeah, great to have Craig involved. Now, obviously, he's very vocal. Who would we pick out as one of the standout performers? You know, probably a bit quieter.
I would say most improved, and I'm fitting into that category, is Ari Rogers, who just grew over the three games that he had.
He didn't get any taller.
Sorry?
He didn't get any taller.
He didn't get any taller, but I think his neck got a bit smaller and his shoulders got a bit larger as well. So he was, I think in the third game, or his third game against Southern Lions, you could see that he kind of, everything just clicked for him, or his springs are starting to click for him, and he knew what he was trying to do and he had the confidence to go and do it. And yeah, so for me, so people like Ari, who based in Hong Kong as well, seeing him improve, that was one of the fantastic takeaways from the tour.
Yeah, and Ari's got a great backstory as well. You know, he's an interesting character, and I was very happy to have him involved. And I was talking to him afterwards because we were on the same flight on the way back. And, you know, he's like, I'm ready to give up rugby union just to focus on rugby league. And, I don't know if he will, but we're not asking anyone to do that. But it just shows that, you know, the enthusiasm that the boys have had. What about you,
Matt? No, Ari, a big one for me as well. But G-Man, Gareth James.
Yes.
The size of the bloke alone, he's mere mountain, isn't he?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he had a game, then he took a lot of time off from injury or something, I think, and then... he played for the Storm this year. He had one game or two games for us. And, you know, I said, what position? He's like, I don't expect too much. I haven't played for ages. And got out there, a little bit rusty. And then, you know, you see him down there in Sydney. And he just, you know, from a coaching perspective, anything you tell that bloke to do, he just does it. He listens. And he goes out and does it. And that's why he improves so much his tour. You know, you tell him to run on the fringe or you tell him to run a bit tighter, you know, hold the ball, play the ball, you know, little things that we're struggling to do. Just, you know, he listens and he goes out and does it, and, you know, that's how you improve. And, you know, he was my pick for the tournament.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I can echo that as well. I organised him to join some of James Elliott's running
passes.
And afterwards he was raving about it. He was going, he was sceptical at first.
Yeah.
Nev, why are you sending me on a running class?
Yeah.
But it was all about footwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, even within that, it's the mentality of I want to learn, I want to improve myself, you know, it's fantastic to have.
Can't drive, though.
Can you not?
Yeah, shocking driver. Just shocking driver. Thought I'd add that.
Been in Hong Kong too long. okay, so, G-Man, Harry, thank you very much for your participation. Craig, we hope you're all listening. The team loves having you. This was self-funding, but I just wanted to say, you know, big thank you to some people who did contribute. We raised approximately $35,000 Hong Kong dollars via Chuffed, so a big thank you to everyone who donated to that. And we had people there, I have no idea who they were. I mean, it was probably just some random league is out there looking at what we're doing and wanting to get involved.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And a big thank you to the sponsors who got involved, and probably a bigger thank you to the physios who turned up.
Who
were great. Simon Wong, Roy Chan and Michael. But you know, they did a great job.
Well, injuries, we had. Imagine if we didn't have them there.
Definitely
wouldn't have made that last game. So, thank you to them and everyone else that was involved.
Well, that's us for the latest edition of the Hong Kong Rugby League podcast. We'll be back for a special Christmas edition. Until then, see you later.
Enterprising play from Hong Kong early on. Got out of dummy half, skipped to the left. Fairly with the short ball and a great offload by Lay. We see the replay.